called my sisters, and I took one look at all three of them because they knew something was going on, but they didn't know quite what. And I started crying. I didn't say anything. And then they all started crying. And I said, I don't think Mom's going to make it.
That's Carissa Bates. And that conversation she had with her sisters was coming from the middle of the ocean. She was aboard a cruise ship with her family, and her mom had fallen gravely ill. The journey to return her to U.S. soil and to health is a harrowing one. But along the way, Carissa found hope in a church pew. She shares her whisper story with us today. Episode 4 of the So God Made a Mother podcast starts now.
Hi, friends. We are so happy to have the lovely Carissa Bates with us this morning. Hello, Carissa.
Hello.
Welcome. Hi, Carolyn.
Hey. Hey, ladies. So
before we dive into this one, here's a bit of background information on Carissa. She is a triple negative breast cancer survivor. She has three beautiful kids and works part-time as a mental health therapist. And she also has several books as well. And we will include all of those links on the show notes that you guys can see. Before we started talking, Carissa had mentioned a friend of ours and how she was connected. Carolyn and I always say, Her View from Home is so much bigger than us. And every time we hear these little stories and these connections, it just gives me the goosebumps and the whisper feeling. Because you've been writing for Her View for several years, but before that, you had a connection that we have a connection to through Her View, right?
Yes. So I was talking about how when I went through cancer about 5 years ago, my lovely nurse said, hey, I follow this person on Facebook and you need to read her book. And her name was Ashley Brain.
Yep. Brain.
Yep. Ashley Brain. And so my nurse was telling me about her and I was like, okay, I'll get a book because she's, you know, telling me like how relatable it is and how much I'll enjoy it and it'll give me some comfort. So I read the book in like 4 days straight after chemo. And then I joined Her View from Home writing and found out that Ashley was part of the Her View from Home group and totally was like fangirling, like could not believe I was like starstruck. Like, I love this book. I recommend this book to everyone. And she is part of this group. And I was super excited, probably a little too excited. She's probably like, oh, wow, this person's really
Ashley is one of our absolute favorite people. Did you know that she was part of the group when you were reading her book?
No.
See?
Not at all.
Like, this is, okay, I know, I know probably people listening are like, what, Leslie? I'm like, you guys have to know that Ashley and I go way back actually to our college days. I knew her in college and she is one of our dear friends and has been a long time Her View from Home contributor. And I just think God is so cool. I just think we are all connected. This is such a huge world and yet it's so much smaller than we think. And we're all connected in ways.
Yes. And I wasn't even writing when I was reading her book. I hadn't started even considering writing for, no, not at all. Like that was not my calling at that point. And had never written for anything at that point.
Does Ashley know how much you loved her book?
I've told her a couple of times. I try not like be too super intense. Like,
she likes intense. She likes
intense. I'm so, and obviously we'll dive into your whisper story too, but I'm so glad you told her because we tell our writers all the time, you just have no idea the impact your words are making. And you likely won't because there's strangers all over the world reading your pieces, but you are changing lives, saving lives, helping so many people, and you'll never even know it. So I think it's cool that you told her. Okay, your whisper story is about your mom, and we definitely had some, oh gosh, moments after reading about it. And so we would love for you to just dive in and tell us a little more.
So 11 months ago, my family, my husband and my kids, and I decided to go on a trip with my parents, my mom and dad, on a cruise. And I was kind of like, my husband and I were going back and forth. And I told him, like, I just feel like we need to do like a big trip with my parents one time because they're getting older and we just need, we need to take the trip. And so day one, we just, you know, cruise ship. We just got, you know, acclimated to the cruise ship. Day two, we went and did a massage. My mom went first and then I went. So when I was done, I had gotten a text message from my mom. I have a headache. I'm going to go up to like the top floor and sit by the sun. So then I got that message. And while I was going up to the top floor, I got another message from my dad saying, your mom has a really bad headache. My dad ended up calling the emergency number for the ship. And my mom was having like an intense headache, like the worst headache of her life, throwing up super bad. They brought her down to like their doctor area on the ship. And then I got another message from my dad saying, like, you should probably come down here. So I came down and my mom's blood pressure was off the roof. She wasn't totally making sense. And then I remember looking at my mom, because the doctors, you know, were giving us some information, looking at my mom and her eyes didn't look right. They weren't focusing right and her pupils were really funny. And I remember looking at her thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to die. Called the doctors and they rushed in, did a whole bunch of stuff on the ship and said kind of like, it's a waiting game. We are close to Cuba at this point in a country that doesn't have a high population. And then Haiti was a little ways away. So we're in the middle of the ocean, not really knowing the severity at this point. They were talking about different options. Airlifting seemed to be like the best option at that point, where a helicopter would come hover and then they'd like lift her off the ship. We had sat down with the doctor and he was like, we should airlift her to Haiti. And prior to that, my friend said, don't go into Haiti. They're like in a state of emergency for safety. Don't go there. I told the doctor, I'm like, I don't know if we can go into Haiti. I don't know if they have like medical places there. So then he was still looking into it and he's like, yep, I just called. Haiti's out. So we're too far from the US, no countries close by. And the only option was Jamaica at that point. I called my sisters. And I took one look at all three of them because they knew something was going on, but they didn't know quite what. And I started crying. I didn't say anything. And then they all started crying. And I said, I don't think mom's going to make it. And then we had to come up with a plan because we're in the middle of the ocean. No helicopter can fly quick enough to us to get us somewhere.
Because how long would it take for the helicopter to get to where you were?
Well, they have to get a helicopter from like the U.S. to typically to the cruise ship, and then you go to the closest medical place, and they were saying like 5 or 6 hours get to the ship. I can't remember, it was somewhere in there. It was so long that it didn't make sense because we're on our way to Jamaica.
What were they telling you about what they thought was happening? I mean,
so they were pretty certain it was a stroke, but they didn't know. Like, they don't have CAT scans or MRIs on the ship.
Sure.
Her blood pressure was super high. So they were like, we think it's this. It could be this. But they were pretty certain it was a stroke. The doctor, he brought us into his office and said, I just talked to the captain of the ship. And we're going to speed up the ship to Jamaica to get her there quicker. I went in the room and I just saw my dad put his arm around my mom in the hospital bed and hug her and tell her he loves her. And it was like the most saddest scene playing out in front of me. So
it is so in God's hands at this point, because there's just nothing you can do.
There was, honestly, and that's what my sisters and I said, all we can do is pray. There's literally nothing we can do. We're in Jamaica, we're docked in Jamaica. So my dad's like, I got a hold of my dad and he's like, don't come in here. And then like our second nightmare of the trip happened. My dad said it was kind of like a different type of hospital, you know, not like the US. And my mom was separated from my dad, so you pay up front. And then you get to go to ICU or get the CAT scan. So you pay and then you get to go. That's how they operate. So he paid. She had the CAT scan. You know, they found out it was a brain bleed. And then they had to wait for the doctor to give them fit for fly to go back to the U.S. The doctor's on its way. My dad kept hearing the doctor's on his way. The doctor's on his way. So 8 hours later or something.
Oh, my gosh.
10 hours later. And we're like, okay, something's not right. Something's not right. So then my dad had to pay again, like thousands of dollars to get her to let her stay in the ICU. So he paid again. And I'm like, I think we need to call the U.S. Embassy. So we started that process. Found out this is not unusual for U.S. to be kind of kept captive at the hospital because that's how they make their money. Finally got a call back. The U.S. Embassy called the hospital from Jamaica. And the doctor came within an hour and they were flown out within like, I think 3 hours from there to Florida.
You're back on the ship and your mom and dad are now in Florida.
Yes. So we were on the ship and my parents were in Florida and we had like 4 days left on the ship. And I was like talking to my dad. He's like, enjoy yourself. Your mom's doing okay. She's walking or she's mostly walking. She's talking. She's remembering. He's like, your mom would be mad if you're not enjoying yourself on the ship.
Yeah.
And then the next nightmare happened. I don't know what to do. Like, my dad's alone in Florida. My mom is intubated in a coma. I don't know what to do. So three of my sisters flew out and things started to go downhill really fast. They tried to bring her out of the coma and she wouldn't come out. Fast forward a couple of weeks, they did another scan and they said she had a stroke on her brainstem and people don't come back from that. And I remember my dad saying, we need to plan the funeral. Same news the next day. And the next day, my sister and I are like, we need to go to church. So we were looking for a church like my church, called Crossroads, which comes later on. But we get to the church. It was super welcoming. It was called The Crossing. And I go to Crossroads. Uh-huh. So then I'm like, you know, my sister's Mackenzie. I'm like, Mackenzie, we need to ask for prayer. Like, at any time in our life, we need to go to the welcome desk and ask for prayer. So we go and ask for prayer, and this is crazy. The pastor comes. He has a little bit of a limp, and he tells us a story about how he had a stroke. And they told him he was not waking up, and he was not going to talk, and he was not going to walk. And there he was right in front of us, standing, talking, functioning, preaching, campus pastor, I think. Like, God was like, you need to see this person. And like, he prayed over us. And we're like, yeah. And, you know, part of us were like, okay, yeah, like, you got through this, but like, this is, look what they're telling us at the hospital. But I'm like, okay, let's just go into the church. And the whole sermon was on money, about how money doesn't fix anything. And I kept thinking, you're right. No amount of money can pay to get my mom better. Zero. And during this, there was a song called, like, My Heart Needs a Surgeon, or My Soul Needs a Surgeon. I can't remember. It's by Matt Maurer. And I was praying during that and crying and praying, and I'm looking down and I'm praying, and I have a vision, like the Holy Spirit just came to me, and I'm just praying so hard. And I saw Jesus with his hand on my mom. I had this vision, Jesus with his hand on my mom. And then the second vision of my mom walking in her kitchen, struggling to walk very slowly, very wobbly, and three grandkids coming up to her and hugging her in the kitchen. And I thought, God, she's going to be okay. You're telling me she's going to be okay. And then I felt comforted. I didn't feel scared. I felt relief. And my sister went up and one of the prayer team prayed over her. And she just cried and cried. And this lady kept saying, let it all out. Like, God hears you. Let it all out. And at this point, I was like composed. My sister was just falling apart. And I was comforting her because I had been comforted by God. And it was like late at night. It was like 7:30 at night. And I was like, Mackenzie, we need to get back to the hospital. And I need to tell mom that she's going to be okay. I need to tell her. Like, we need to go. Like, we have to go tell her.
So what does that look like when you walk into your mom's hospital room and you tell her, you know, she's going to be okay?
Yep. I whispered in her ear. I said, Mom, we're at church. I saw Jesus on you. God told me you're going to be okay. The next day, things were still really bad. And the next day, things were still really bad. And then like a final thing is like, we're going to do another MRI. And we found out that they read the MRI of her brainstem incorrectly, and she had not had a stroke. She must have moved. A nurse said, this is a miracle. This never happens. This never, ever happens. So they start doing tests, and they're like, well, why isn't she waking up? These little strokes should not prevent her from waking up. And why are all of her organs shutting down? And this infectious disease doctor came in and took a sample. She had at that point, she had like a drain in her brain. And they took a sample of it, and she actually had contracted meningitis, I think, in the U.S. when she was in the hospital. And they gave her antibiotics in 24 hours. Her organs started to work. And then after 2 months, right before Mother's Day, she was able to be Metaflown home and do rehab in Wisconsin. And I can't say it's been easy for her. There's been a lot of setbacks, a lot of surgeries. She still can't walk unassisted. She can walk with a walker. She remembers things. She can talk to us back and forth. They told us she wouldn't walk. She wouldn't talk when she wasn't recovering. I will say, I thought, I was like, God, why did you give me this false hope? Because it was like 2, 3, maybe 4 days. Why did you give me this false hope? was this my mom in heaven? Were you showing me she was going to heaven and her happy place is with her grandkids and she's in heaven right now? Like that, or that's where she's going.
Right.
And I was feeling kind of foolish. Like, why am I doubting you, God? Like, I felt like this pull, like God showed me this. Did I misinterpret it? Or did I want to see what I wanted to see? Or I had like this doubt. And as you know, you shouldn't be doubting God, because he did not give that vision to me to give me false hope.
Right.
That was not what he was doing. And my mom is home and the grandkids run up to her. She can kind of stand up in the kitchen. She's not quite to walking. It was like an unsteady walk in my vision, but
she's here.
She's here. She's walking. She's talking. They said she wouldn't do that. She communicates effectively. They said cognitively, she probably wouldn't even be able to communicate with us.
I feel like the whole time I've been on just like pins and needles. I'm like, Krissa, what in the, my gosh. That's amazing.
And that's just like the abbreviated version.
What I find interesting so far in the interviews we've done, everybody feels kind of a peace, kind of a calm with them. And yes. You felt that too?
I don't know if I've ever felt more at peace. And like I said, I was praying, and the message was speaking to me. Money does not matter. Fame does not matter. Nothing, no writing piece I could ever write, no money I could ever make, no money my parents have. It doesn't matter. Those are worldly things. Like, it doesn't matter, but God matters. And as I'm thinking this, and then I'm praying and praying, like I've never prayed before, and tears streaming me down, I felt like God, like, coming to me, like the Holy Spirit coming to me and flashing these two visions to me. And then I felt like we got this. And then, you know, God doesn't do it immediately for you. He doesn't always do stuff immediately for you. And then I feel really bad saying this, but like, I started to doubt my vision. I started to doubt that what I saw. And I thought, nope, that was him saying my mom's going to heaven, even though I felt the peace that she was going to stay. But I thought it meant that was heaven for her. Yeah.
I think he does that sometimes too, right? The peace doesn't mean it's always going to be the outcome we think, but right. He's there giving us comfort through it anyway.
And, you know, I would still have just as much faith as I have now, whether it would have been the other outcome. But obviously I'm happy to have my mom with me still and for her to be with my kids. I'm glad the whisper was there, because whether we went to church or not, and my mom pulled through, I needed that peace from God, and my sister did. And yeah, it was.
Wow.
It's been a journey.
That's incredible. Wow. Yeah, at the end of these, this is what Carol and I were always like, what do you?
Wow. I even thought, like, what am I going to share? Because I've shared with a few people, but I haven't really. Mm-hmm. It's hard to put this into words.
Yeah.
And my mom was,
good job.
Yeah, my mom was out of it for so long. Some of it is like, I don't know if I want her to know all of it, because
right,
it's like a lot of trauma. And she's doing her own grieving, because we went through all of this, but she was pretty much in a coma or sedated or
I
out
didn't
of
know.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
All those things.
And she wakes up and she can't walk and she can't do all these things. She can't eat. It was just like,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm glad that she has recovered. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for sharing this, because God's so powerful. So I just love that you're spreading that message.
Lots of great
stories. Thank you, Krissa.
All right, Leslie. Well, until next time, remember,
the world needs your story. Bye, friends.